Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FBC Radio Live. It's a Friday. It's August. We are closer and closer to September and the start of the NFL season. Yes, I know I say it every single time we start, but it's worth noting and it's worth reminding everyone how close we actually are to real football and actual stories involving plays on the football field and not necessarily off the field nonsense, which, you know, obviously is something that has dominated, well, the offseason, generally it does, but more so this year than not. Big players being traded, quarterbacks being traded, and of course the Deshaun Watson saga hang over all of our heads. Well, John, yesterday it came to somewhat of a conclusion as the agreement reached by both sides, the NFL and the NFLPA, have determined that Deshaun Watson will be suspended 11 games and fined $5 million, which, you know, puts his total fine, I think, at $5.69 million for the year. And we did a show yesterday, the Full Press NFL podcast, where we talked a little bit about this. But the bottom line is, you look, Deshaun Watson won in all this. You know, he didn't win in the court of public opinion, but he won at every other level. And you know what? I'm trying to, let's put it this way, John. I'm trying to reconcile with it. I'm trying to accept it because at this point, nothing's going to change. Like, this is what it is. It's an 11-game suspension. It's a minimal monetary fine relative to what he's actually making, the contract that he signed. And he gets to play football in 2022. So,
yeah, I mean, when you go back to the end of the 2020 season when he demanded a trade from the Houston Texans and then all of these stories came out, so he was on the exempt list in 2021, but still got paid. So he got paid to not play football. I'm sure he would have preferred to play football, but, you know, a year off with pay gets the body healed up a little bit, and he didn't want to play there anyway. Then they move him to a better team talent-wise than the Cleveland Browns. I'm not going to say a better organization because, you know, picking between Houston and Cleveland is like picking between kidney stones and a migraine. I mean, neither one of those are top-flight organizations, but a better roster in Cleveland, right? And he signs a $230 million guaranteed contract, and all he's going to lose is less than $6 million, like you said, Ian, the $5 million fine and then missing 11 games. He comes back in early December, and it's over and done with. So, yeah, from the point that he demanded this trade to now, it really hasn't cost him all that much. Now, obviously, no endorsements will come his way because of this. But, look, if you're guaranteed $230 million over the next 5 years, you're in pretty good financial shape.
Yeah, and look, I mean, like I said, court of public opinion, yeah, obviously he lost, and his reputation is in the toilet. But considering where this case was and where this situation was and where it is now, he could have lost a whole hell of a lot worse. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think he probably should have. But, you know, it is what it is. And we as football fans have to accept it and move on. And look, you can judge him off the field. You can, you know, judge him while he's playing. And like I said, I mean, he's going to have quite the reaction from visiting fan bases. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Look, the first game that he plays this season is going to be against the Houston Texans, the team that he wanted out of before any of this happened. And then obviously, you know, there's going to be some motivation, not just because it's Houston, but because of the fact that, well, a lot of teams are going to be wanting to beat Cleveland. And if anything, it's the fans that are going to be, you know, really cheering hard against Cleveland, not necessarily for the team that's playing them in some situations, but cheering hard for Cleveland to fall flat. Because look, let's face it, John, I think if you asked a majority of people out there, they want to see Cleveland fall flat on their face. And based on some of the comments made by the owner, the general manager, It didn't really endear themselves to other fan bases outside of Cleveland. I'll just put it that way.
No, the owner, Jimmy Haslam, essentially like laughed this off. Like, oh, well, whatever. You know, and again, anytime he speaks, the value of his franchise goes down. It's one of the poorest and poorly run franchises in all of the NFL. And the more we think about this, Ian, and we talked about it yesterday, I'm thinking the league, in a sense, or the arbitrator, and again, who knows what takes place, but in some sort, the 11-game punishment and him coming back to have his first game with Cleveland at Houston is somewhat punishment for him, right? Like, now you're going to face the music of a place that you were so popular in but now despises you. So welcome back to the NFL. You're going to get a migraine headache, you know, from how much you're going to get booed at Reliant Stadium in Houston. So maybe that's one look at it that, okay, you're going to come back, but you're going to come back
to
a lot of heat.
Money.
Oh, of course.
The NFL saw it. It was like, this is a great opportunity. That's it. I mean, I'm not going to give them credit for some, you know, we're really going to stick it to them. No, I think they did enough on the surface to not be dragged through the mud. And trust me, that standard of just doing enough, it's not that high for the NFL. So they did just enough to not get, you know, thrown in as, I guess, complicit in some form or fashion with all of this. They just did enough on the surface to pretend like they cared. And at the end of the day, it was about money. And they saw this opportunity, like, they you know, they wanted nothing less than a season-long. Well, guess what? If you wanted nothing less than a season-long suspension, you could have gotten that season-long suspension.
Well, I mean, it's out of the hands of the league, right?
No, it was in their hands of the league when they decided who was going to hear the case. They could have done just like they did before in the past and just been like, well, Roger Goodell's going to hear it because he can. And guess what? If the league, the owners, want a season-long suspension, Roger Goodell's going to give him a season-long suspension. But what did they do? It, under the guise of being neutral, John, and this is what they did. They gave that responsibility to a third party, in which case that dissolves them of any sort of blame or anything in this situation, because they're like, look, we appealed it, and we gave that power to someone to determine this, and this is what happened. So I'm not giving the NFL too much credit on any of this. I think their motivations are purely money and strategic. And when you look at how they, and I mentioned this yesterday because someone brought it up on Twitter, how they limited the suspension to only 11 games, that's key, because that counts for, that gives him enough game time to accrue a full season, which would, you know, make sure his contract, which gets a hefty, hefty raise next season, John, kicks in. And look, I mean, they saw the Houston Texans on the schedule and said, yes, that's going to be perfect, because guess what? The ratings are going to be through the roof, because who the hell else would ever care about a Cleveland versus Houston game in November? Well, guess what? That game is going to be one of the highest rated games, non-national televised games this season. I guarantee it, because people are going to want to watch him debut, but not just to see him play, but to see him fail. And I think the NFL knows that.
I can't wait to see what the league does. You know, on Wednesday, you go on whatever website and you see where the games are shown in different parts of the country. And obviously the marquee franchises take up like 2/3 of the country. And then the other third is split among other games at that same time. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that Houston-Cleveland game. How much they're going to try to get as much a national audience as possible, right? Not just in the Cleveland market and in the Houston market. So, yeah, and look, there's always this adage, bad publicity, I guess, is better than no publicity sometimes. I mean, because, again, the NFL seems indestructible. I mean, they can't help but make money off of a lot of stupidity, right? I mean, they constantly screw up, and they still come up smelling like roses. You know, when it comes to this, I think in some ways the league was just trying to not go – obviously to try to make money, but also if they continue to force a longer suspension, this thing could have gone up into the courts perhaps, and then you're going to hear about owners. And I'm sure the owners were in contact with Roger Goodell and said, look, we don't want to see.
You're kind of proving my point, though.
I agree on pretty much everything. I just think, you know, maybe I'm giving more credit to the league by saying, well, you know, he's going to have to face Houston the first week. It would have been like Michael Vick coming back and, oh, by the way, your first game's going to be in Atlanta.
Yeah. But that's the thing, John. It's like, yeah, good for them for sticking it. But at the end of the day, you know, they're just in the back of their minds, they're just seeing dollar bills, because this is a perfect, I mean, it's a marketing bonanza. In the period of time in the NFL, which is kind of, if there's going to be a dead time in the NFL, it's probably around then too. You know, pre-Thanksgiving, You know, you're off that initial first, like, two-month rush of, like, you know, football's back. You know, that lasts for, like, 3 or 4 weeks, and then you actually feel like you're in the middle of the season. But then you get to week 8, week 9, you're like, all right, you know, we're not quite close to the playoff season yet. It's not quite Thanksgiving. It's not quite, you know, playoff races heating up. Well, we have this Houston-Cleveland game, and there's a lot of implications with it. So, to the NFL, like I said, I'm not going to give them any credit, because I think at the end of the day, you know, if they wanted the season-long suspension, if they wanted to make a point, they would have, and, you know, ratings be damned. Take a hit for once and just do the right thing. And unfortunately, the NFL, I didn't think they were going to at the end of the day. But
No, they never do. And again, I think it still goes back to the fact that if this thing goes longer and next thing you know it's in the courts, well, now you're going to start digging into the Washington Commanders and Daniel Snyder and all sorts of other owners and – those guys pay Roger Goodell a lot of money to protect them. That's essentially what his job is, to make sure that they don't get touched. And, you know, here we are. And it is kind of a situation where when you watch all of this and you kind of feel dirty and like, why do we love this sport so much? But they know they have everybody wrapped around their finger, and they really can't do anything to hurt themselves. They're indestructible, which is damn scary when you think about it. Because any other business, I mean, your business, if you went out and did crazy things and, you know, never owned up to it, et cetera, people would say, well, I don't really want to give that guy any business. He's not a good guy. With the NFL, it's like, no matter what, they seem to grow.
Yeah. No, there's always an opportunity in these situations. And the NFL, and that's the thing I'll give them credit for, they never fail to capitalize on it. And we talk about it all the time, how they maximize their, you know, hype for just about everything, and they squeeze about every minute out of it as you can possibly get, and yet, you know, they're going to continue to grow and grow and grow. So, anyways, we'll move on to another quarterback, one that is not playing right now, but not for any sort of suspension or anything, but Tom Brady, you know, taking a little bit of a break in training camp. I know there's a lot to be made of the situation. We've heard Antonio Brown chime in, I believe, unless a 5-year-old child stole his phone and tweeted all that. I don't know what I believe, but you heard Todd Bowles yesterday say there isn't a real definite return date for Brady, and I know a lot of people are starting. No, I don't know if it's real concern or more or less just tongue in cheek concern, you know, because I don't think there's a chance in the world that, you know, he changes his mind again, decides he's going to hang it up, which I think a lot of people are kind of like, ooh, is this it? And I'm like, no, I honestly think he had time off, you know? And like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, like Antonio Brown did, and pretend like he and him are the same person. They're not. Brady's obviously far more successful, has a whole hell of a lot more cachet, let's put it that way. And at 45 years old, to take, you know, 10 days off in the middle of camp, I'm not terribly concerned about it. You know, you do want to make sure that, you know, all these players and everything were on the same page. And like, look, I mean, if there's a guy that probably could use a couple extra days off during training camp, it's probably Tom Brady. But if you're going to ask me for like a panic meter, where am I at? I'm probably in the lower third of that meter, because it's not alarming to me. But Tom should be back, I believe, later this week or next, at some point after this next preseason game. So he'll likely suit up for that final preseason game, get a couple series in, and that'll be that. So
he's the one quarterback that can get away with this. I don't even think even Aaron Rodgers could get away with this, because he has one Super Bowl. Brady has 7. He's 45 years old. We know about the family connections. And look, Brett Favre used to do the same thing. He just did it differently. He'd show up really late to camp, oftentimes like the middle of August. And he did that with Minnesota in his first year in Minnesota. Like, he didn't even know who his teammates were or what offense they were running. And again, he was not exactly a slave to film study. We know that. It took him 5 years to figure out what a nickelback was in the NFL. And, you know, that's not being hyperbolic. But, yeah, I mean, it's Brady. He can get away with this type of stuff. I think when he comes back, he'll be totally invested. I've often said that I just think that there's going to be one day where he wakes up, stares at the ceiling, and says, I'm done. Like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't know when that time's going to come, because this is someone who's been so invested for so many years that there is a somewhat of a burnout factor that you're like, you know what? I don't want to go out and throw a football. I don't want to meet the guys. I don't want to st- study film. I don't want to make sure I'm eating every perfect thing in my body, although I think he'll keep that for the rest of his life because that's kind of ingrained in him now. But, yeah, I would expect he comes back and is ready for the season. Again, Ian, the season is so long. Now you've added a game, and, you know, it's not like you have to get off to this incredible start in September. Heck, they were, what were they, 7-5?
Yeah.
Late in the season, his first year there, and then they reeled off 8 straight wins, 4 in the postseason, 4 in the regular season. So, you know, he's got a veteran team, and he's got a good rapport with those wide receivers. And maybe early in camp, he struck it at a high level with Julio Jones and like, okay, I'm good with that guy as well. So let me get some time off here. So he's the one guy I'm not concerned with. The same thing would happen in basketball if LeBron decided to take 10 days off in the middle of camp whatever. You'd just say, okay, they kind of figured out what they have to do.
And here's the thing, too. It's like, it's not like his teammates are all of a sudden going to be questioning, like, you know, is he not? Well, of course they know it's Tom Brady. So again, that's part of the cachet, though. That's the equity that you build up over 20 years of doing exactly what Tom Brady has done, which is, you know, never. I don't think his commitment has ever been questioned, even in, you know, in jest or whatever. You know, so like that's the. But you know, to your point, if Aaron Rodgers, who you know has had struggle and is currently having struggles, according to him. With some of the younger wide receivers, then yeah, that would be a little bit alarming, especially for a team that, again, is going on, you know, over 12, you know, now 12 years since they got to the Super Bowl and won it. So there's a lot more pressure there, whereas, you know, the moment Tom Brady won the Super Bowl in his first season with the Bucs, it was just house money at that point. Anything he did with the Bucs from that point on, it was just icing on the cake. There was nothing that could really do harm to his... I mean, there's nothing at all that could really do harm to his on the field legacy at this point. But yeah, look, I'm really just not that concerned about it. I can't imagine this was not discussed prior to him coming back and saying like, hey, you know, if we do this or whatever, you know what I mean? Maybe there was something planned, or there was some sort of event that, like, look, I mean, he's not the most like outspoken part, you know what I mean? Like, his family life's fairly private. Like, I mean, we know some things about it, just because he's in the spotlight and in front of the camera so much, but he seems like a very, you know, close-knit private person. So, you know, whatever's going on, I'm not, like I said, I'm not thinking like he's all of a sudden second guessing whether or not he should have come back. No, he's happy about coming back. Whether or not this is his last season, well, that remains to be seen. But if I were a Bucs fan, I'm not going to be too concerned. And if, you know, if you can save the guy a couple extra throws with his arm at the end of the day, I think you'll be all right with that. And like I said, as long as he's on the field week one, you're a Super Bowl contender and perhaps Super Bowl favorite in the NFC.
If you're a Bucs fan, here are your choices, Tom Brady or Blaine Gabbert. You know, you pick one.
Yeah, that's pretty well. Jimmy Garoppolo is out there. You never really know, you know. He could find
Jimmy.
His way.
Jimmy's rumored with every team, it seems like, right? I think even you can throw the Giants into it. I know, except, well, I think the women in the fan base want him.
Yeah,
because,
well,
you know, Jimmy is a good-looking dude. So, you know, maybe the Giants, if Daniel Jones doesn't show growth under Brian Daboll, maybe he ends up with the Giants. Who knows? They've already said in Cleveland that it's going to be Jacoby Brissett for the first 11 games, and you go from there. Although, again, these things can change. I mean, Garoppolo is going to get released by San Francisco, so 2 weeks into it, Cleveland could be 0-2, and Jacoby Brissett has one touchdown and 5 interceptions. And they may say, we're going to have to go get, you know, a better quarterback here because the backup to Jacoby Brissett is none other than Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could probably use some help at the quarterback room until Watson shows up in early December.
Yeah, so either way, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I'm sure we're going to get that resolution soon, because after week one, a veteran's his salary would become fully guaranteed with the 49ers, and the 49ers don't want to do that, so he'll likely be gone, and to your point, likely get released, because at this point, you know, the market for him is bare, and knowing that the 49ers are have obviously moved on already, his value is probably not going to be too high for the 49ers to get much out of. So we'll see. That'll be coming to a head very soon, as the NFL season just a few weeks away, John. So thank you everyone for tuning in to this nice little Friday afternoon capper, or Friday morning capper here, to close out the week. We will be back next week to once again get a little bit closer to NFL start of the NFL season. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.